Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on this Epiphany Sunday, we pray that we would recognize your presence in our life and in this service, that we would hear your words in the pages of Scripture, that you would help us to know and understand them and to apply them to our lives. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to guide us, that you would lead us, just as you led those wise men so many years ago. We pray that you would step into our lives, that you would interrupt them, and that you would motivate us to follow after you. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Here we arrive at Epiphany Sunday. So this ends the Christmas season in the church calendar. This year is a little bit interesting in that Christmas fell, on a Sunday. And so Epiphany is normally the Sunday that falls between January 2nd and January 6th, with Epiphany technically being on January 6th. But because of the way the calendar fell, churches this year could have chosen to celebrate Epiphany Sunday on the 1st, which to me didn't seem quite right, or to celebrate it today. And so we are celebrating Epiphany Sunday today. And so this is really the end of the Christmas season in the church calendar. So things will happen, like our decorations will be taken down. Actually, they're going to be taken down after church today. So if you want to hang around and help with that, you're invited to. It doesn't take very long. And so it will end this season of Epiphany, and so we will be ending our Christmas sermon series and transitioning back into our sermon series in Acts, so you can be preparing for that. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that needs to prepare for that, but now you have a roadmap of where we're going. So Epiphany Sunday is an interesting Sunday. The story of the wise men has seemed to be a story that has piqued people's interests for generations. These mysterious characters of who the wise men are. And really, all that we know with certainty about these wise men are what I just read from Matthew chapter 2. It doesn't give us a whole lot of information. It doesn't tell us exactly where they were from. It doesn't tell us exactly how many there were. a lot of what we think we know about the wise men is really an intelligent clue gathering. What we know from this passage, then we, like, historians have compared that, Bible scholars have compared that to cultures of the time and the day. We think, you know, we get the three kings from the three gifts that were given. It says that they, you know, they were traveling, and so where were they traveling from? And the reality is we really don't know. Most scholars agree that maybe it was Persia or Asia. Some even think that maybe it was Midian, where Moses originally came from, the people who studied the stars. And it seems that, you know, the wise men are who get the majority of our attention when we look at this passage. But it doesn't seem to me that the wise men hold the majority of God's attention in this passage. The Bible never says what it doesn't say. In other words, often we try to put words in God's mouth that God never says. I think that Scripture is intentionally vague in places where God says, maybe that's not quite as important, and very clear in places where God wants things to be very clear. And so if the wise men aren't the important part of this passage, what are? And my response to that is it's not the three kings, but the two kings that we see really compared and contrasted in this passage. And those two kings are Herod and Jesus. And then those wise men, or the three kings, or however many kings, response to both, and what our response should be. So let's take a quick look at who Herod and Jesus are, and let's do a little bit of comparing and contrasting. So Herod is this puppet king who has been appointed by Rome, you know, to kind of appease the people, to keep somebody local in a position of authority, but he didn't really have any real power. But the power that Herod had, I mean, he was desperately clinging to. Really, he's been referred to as a madman, that he was so obsessed with hanging on to power that he put half of the Sanhedrin, or the religious leadership, to death. He killed over 300 court officers. He executed his wife and his mother-in-law, three of his sons. And he said as he lay dying, he arranged for all the notable men of Jerusalem to be assembled in the hippodrome and killed as soon as his own death was announced, so the people might weep instead of rejoicing at his death. I mean, this guy, I mean, he is crazy. He's bloodthirsty. He's power hungry. I mean, this is the same Herod that, after the wise men didn't return, ordered all of the babies under 2 years old to be killed in order that he might hang on to what little power that he held. And then we have Jesus. You know, in this story, he's just been born. You know, some scholars think that Jesus might have been as old as 2 years old at this point. That's why Herod killed everybody 2 years older and younger. But he's a young child, living with a father who is a craftsman and a young mother. And so we have this man of great influence with very little power, who's bloodthirsty and hungry, compared with this child who, in a worldly sense, has nothing, or at least very little, but rules over a kingdom that is eternal, that is mighty. And so we have this compare and contrast of Herod and Jesus. And the wise men were tasked with the same question that we're tasked with. Which king are you going to bow to? Are you going to worship, bow to the world around you? Are you going to be influenced by the things of this world? Are we going to be motivated by our own ambition and self-promotion? By whatever means necessary, make sure that things work out okay for us? Or are we going to be like the wise men? We don't know much about them, but we know that these men traveled a great distance, breaking free from what must have been culture and tradition and their own religion, to follow after a star that appeared in the sky, to come and worship a king that they knew very little about. They set aside their own self-interests. It would have been expensive for them to travel. It would have cost them a lot. They would have had to leave relationships behind. They would have had to leave jobs, positions of power behind. It would have cost them money to travel. Certainly these men would not have traveled alone, but they would have brought with them servants and a convoy of people. This is an expensive undertaking. And so they sacrificed much. And so what is the important part of this passage? The important part of this passage is not who the three kings were, but what they did. They followed after God's invitation to come and worship the true king. And when they are tempted by the world and this false puppet king, who even underneath, you know, the fear that, I mean, when it says that all of Israel, all of Jerusalem was troubled with Herod, it wasn't because they were concerned about the same things that Herod was concerned about. It was because they were afraid that if Herod was upset, that he might kill them. And this is what the wise men are risking when they don't return to Herod, that his wrath might come against them. But they're saying, no, we will follow after this true king that we were led to, whatever cost necessary. And so on this Epiphany Sunday, really at the beginning of this brand new year, we're a little ways in now, right? A week into the new year. And I would be willing to bet that some of us have already forgotten about our New Year's resolutions, that Christmas feels like a long time ago, that it seems maybe weird to have a Christmas celebration so far out from Christmas. So my invitation for you today is similar to my invitation really last week, is that you embark into this new year. What is going to be your guiding star? What will lead you forward? What will draw you closer into relationship with Jesus Christ, your true King? So think about right now, what are the distractions? What are the distractions that keep you from following after Jesus? What are the Herods in your life? These things that think that they have power, or that we allow to have power in our life, but really don't. What are the things that you are allowing to control the direction that you are going in that are not Jesus? And I'm not saying that all of those things are 100% bad. They're not. Being concerned about your health, being concerned about your finances, being involved in the political process, these are all types of things that are good. But when you allow things like that to become your God or your guiding stars for your life, that's when they become a problem. that all of these things that become distractions from us or for us can be great things. But they are only great and they are only good if they come after Jesus. And so this idea of following after Jesus into this new year, it's a difficult thing. And sometimes it's difficult to know where to start. And we may envy these wise men. These wise men had a star miraculously appear. Or for the first time, they took note of this star. And they were presented with something to follow. And we may ask, well, where is my star? Well, this morning I'm going to give you some stars. I have a star actually for everybody. A tradition, and lots of different denominations throughout the history of time has been to have epiphany stars, physical stars that people will take up and they'll carry with them. So on these tables up here, right out front, I have some stars. They're all face down. Each star has a word written on it. They are foam stickers. And so my hope is that you will take one of these, put it somewhere, you can even stick it somewhere, maybe on your bathroom mirror or on the steering wheel of your car or on your Bible or I don't know. Maybe you don't want to stick it somewhere. Maybe you want to put it in your pocket. Maybe you want to make it into a keychain. I don't know. But each star has a word written on it. And there's nothing special or magical about these stars. They're foam stars. I bought them at Walmart, and I wrote on them. There's nothing special about them, but what I'm hoping you will use them for, I believe, is special. So this one, the one that I picked up, has the word return. So my invitation for you is whatever word that you find is to begin having this be for the next few weeks, maybe for the next year, to be what is what you return to when you pray. Return. So if I use this word, maybe I would, in my prayer life, I'd be saying, God, what are you trying to communicate to me through this? What do you want me to know about returning? Are you asking me to return to you? Are you asking me to return to something else? And then maybe what I would do is I would begin to dive into Scripture and say, what does the Bible have to say about returning? And, you know, there's this, I talk about it a lot, this wonderful tool called Google that you have to be careful with. But you can type things in like, what does the Bible have to say about returning? And it'll pop up a whole bunch of Bible verses that will talk about that. So you have to be careful on what the internet says, but not so much. The Bible is truth, right? And so I would encourage you to pick up these stars, and whatever the word is, maybe you don't like it, but to spend at least some time thinking through what might God be able to communicate to me through this word. And again, there's nothing magical about these stars. But there are two things that I know with certainty draw us into deeper relationship with God. And that is prayer and reading your Bible. Prayer and reading your Bible. And that's what I'm hoping these stars will do for you, is give you a new reason, a new motivation, a new way to engage in prayer in Scripture. So here in a few minutes, we're going to sing another song. If you want to come up and grab a star as we're singing, you're welcome to do that or to pick one up after church. There's also a couple of stars or a few stars that don't have anything written on them. So maybe you felt like God has already spoken a word to you this year. Go ahead and write that one down and use it. Or maybe, you know, today something popped out, you know, that you want to focus on for the year. Go ahead and write those down. but focus on what's important. And what is most important is Jesus. These wise men, you know, everything that we think that we know about them to be true, you know, that they were these pagan astrologers that traveled great distances to see Jesus, to lay everything aside, to come before him, risking everything, really. And all we have to do is open our Bibles, and we can make the same journey that they did. And that's my encouragement for you. Journey to Jesus this new year. Be willing to set aside some things, to sacrifice a little bit, to make time for him, and to follow after the stars he's laid before you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you move and work in the world around us. And we recognize that maybe you haven't planted brand new stars in the sky for each and every one of us. But you do point us in the direction to follow after day, that as we open up the pages of Scripture, we know that it is guiding us into a deeper relationship with you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, that you would help us to follow after what you have ahead of us, that you would point us in the direction that you want us to go, that we would trust in you, that we would make you a priority, that you would be the most important in our life. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.